unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Also, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, you can always do so at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Today is one of the most disgraceful days in sports history. It's a disgrace. And you're going to have haters out there that are going to refute that. They're going to tell you, so what, that Bill Belichick was not a first ballot Hall of Famer, courtesy of Seth Wickersham doing a tweet on X earlier. He said, a stunner from Don Van Natter Jr. and me. Bill Belichick is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He didn't get elected this year. The 8-time champion failed to get 40 out of the 50 votes required for induction. It's a disgrace. The Hall of Fame, if they don't correct this decision, this egregious error, this crime in sports parlance, the Hall of Fame shouldn't even matter anymore. Clearly, it's not about credentials. It's not about credentials. It's about being liked. It's about being massaged. It's about having your ass kissed. It's about things that don't have anything to do with results, which Bill Belichick has clearly produced. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an 8-time champion. He's an 8-time champion overall. 2 Super Bowl championships as a defensive coordinator. 6 Super Bowl championships as a head coach. Everybody wants to bring up Spygate and Deflategate. The man won 3 Super Bowls since then. He is universally recognized as one of, if not the greatest coach in the history of the sport. He's one of one. And to have him on the outside as a first ballot Hall of Famer, I thought it was a crime when T.O. wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer as a wide receiver, considering the fact that he retired with over 15,000 receiving yards and as one of the top 3 greatest wide receivers in the history of football. There's only 2 names that got mentioned before T.O., Terrell Owens. That was Jerry Rice, and that was Randy Moss. Outside of that, you can't put anybody ahead of Terrell Owens. I thought that was a crime. I thought that was criminal. I thought that was egregious. But, I mean, this is taking the cake. The greatest coach in the history of football. 12 Super Bowl appearances overall. First all time. 31 postseason wins. First all time. 17 division titles. First all time. 8 combined Super Bowl wins. First all time. 3-time AP, Associated Press, Coach of the Year, tied for 2nd with Don Shula. Tied for 2nd behind Don Shula, I'm sorry, who had 4. 333 wins, including the postseason, 2nd only to Don Shula. Won 65% of all of his games. The standard personified. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. That building might as well be burnt to ashes. It means nothing. To me, it should mean nothing to any of y'all. If you can't put Bill Belichick in as a first ballot Hall of Famer, who can you put in there? Who has his resume? Who's this person? Now, we're hearing reports, well, you know what? Bill Polian, who just embarrassed himself, and I got to look up his age. Griff, somebody look up his age for me, please. I think Bill Polian, the former executive with the Indianapolis Colts in Buffalo as well, I think he's about 83. He's 83 years old. Listen to what I'm about to read to y'all, ladies and gentlemen, over the airways of Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM right now. In an interview with ESPN on Tuesday night, that was last night, Polian denied telling fellow voters that Belichick should serve a one-year penance for Spygate. But he said he heard his fellow voters, quote-unquote, float the idea. But he insisted he didn't agree or disagree with the proposal. Polian said he voted for Kraft, meaning Robert Kraft, owner for the New England Patriots, all right? And even spoke up on his behalf during the deliberations, saying Kraft had no knowledge of the Spygate scheme. Polian added that he could not remember with 100% certainty if he voted for Belichick, saying he was 95% sure he voted for the coach and a player, most likely LC Greenwood. Quote, I was shocked to learn Bill didn't get in, Polian said. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Sit down. I'm going to be respectful to my elders. Sit down. Nobody should want to hear from Bill Polian. Here's the reason why. The votes just took place 2 weeks ago. You don't remember whether you voted for Bill Belichick or not? We're supposed to believe that 2 weeks ago you can't remember, you can't recall what your vote was. Now, you're saying you're 95% sure. Why not 100% sure? You're saying that he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame and you had a vote. So how come it can't be 100% sure? What the hell do you mean you don't recall? Sit down. Sit down. I'm being respectful to my elders, ladies and gentlemen. The man's 83 years of age. Sit down. We don't want to hear from you because you're clearly lying. You're clearly lying. The hell you mean you don't remember? Makes no sense whatsoever. By the way, as an aside, him supporting Robert Kraft, getting into the Hall of Fame, I am a friend of Robert Kraft, the owner for the New England Patriots. I love the man. There's no reason why he shouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame already. If Jerry Jones is in the Hall of Fame with 3 Super Bowl rings, why the hell isn't Kraft in there as an owner with 6? It makes no sense whatsoever. Of course, Robert Kraft deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Let me just get that as an aside. Back to Bill Belichick. What possible excuse can you have? And this is where we get to the fourth estate. Let me be very, very clear. We're talking about Bill Belichick, right? Let us understand. Bill Belichick did not get voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility, falling short of the 40 out of 50 votes, 80% required for induction. It was his first appearance on a ballot following his exit from the NFL after the 2023 season. According, obviously, the outcome stunned the football world. Reached the Super Bowl 12 times. I already gave you the rest of the stats, okay? It is believed that at least 11 voters left him off their ballots entirely. Bill Belichick was described by people close to him as puzzled and disappointed when informed he had missed. Let me be very, very clear. I want names. I want faces. I want positions. I want the publication that they represent or work for. I don't give a damn who it is. I want to know who the hell it is. And I'm going to have somebody on at the top of hour number 2 who actually applauds this crime, this miscarriage of justice. All right? He didn't have a vote in determining whether Bill Belichick was going to be a Hall of Famer or not. But he's applauding those who are. And I can't wait to talk to him at the top of hour number 2. But for the purposes of this immediate discussion with this opening monologue, I want to know their names. I want to see their faces. I want them plastered up as mugshots. It is egregious. That makes no sense. What level of credibility does the Fourth Estate or any of the voters have? Former players and executives that have a vote, along with members of the media. Who the hell are you to keep Bill Belichick out of the Hall of Fame with his credentials? Who the hell are you? Where's the merit? Is it a meritocracy? Evidently not. Evidently, you could be the greatest ever. And because you're not liked, because you were a bit truculent or acerbic or dismissive of the media from time to time, that's grounds for not awarding you as a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though your resume was so impeccable that it can't be denied. There shouldn't even exist a Hall of Fame without Bill Belichick, if he's eligible to be in, which he is now. And let me get this off, let me also get this off my chest. If you're going to leave Bill Belichick out, And the excuse is stuff like Spygate from 2007 or so. By the way, the New England Patriots went undefeated that season afterwards, after all of that controversy about Spygate. They went undefeated during the regular season and went undefeated during the playoffs and lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants. That's an aside. What I'm saying is this. If you're going to leave Bill Belichick out of the Hall of Fame because of Spygate and inflated footballs like Deflategate or deflated footballs, what you going to do with Tom Brady? Who is going to show up with a straight face and keep Tom Brady out of the Hall of Fame? Is he next? He's a seven-time champion as a Super Bowl, as a coach, as a quarterback. He's a seven-time champion. You going to leave Tom Brady out of the Hall of Fame? We've been having conversations as to whether or not Eli Manning is going into the Hall of Fame, whether Phillip Rivers is going into the Hall of Fame. We already know that Peyton Manning is already there. Drew Brees is going in there. So are you going to keep Tom Brady out of the Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer? They'd burn the building down. The Hall of Fame would be reduced to ashes if that happened. You can't do that. But somehow, some way, you're going to keep Bill Belichick out, who coached him to those six Super Bowl championships, who oversaw the franchise, who made sure he had a defense and the special teams to support and buffer him, who ran football operations for the Patriots for the better part of the last 23 years. That same man that won six Super Bowl championships, that got to nine Super Bowls, you're going to summarily dismiss him as a Hall of Famer? You should be ashamed of yourselves. And anybody who supports that should be ashamed of themselves. This is a crime. This is a miscarriage of justice in the world of sports. What are you going to do next? Going to keep Michael Jordan out of the Hall of Fame? That's what you're going to do? Not that you can now, because he's already in. But you get my point. LeBron James, he ain't going to go to the Hall of Fame. Steph Curry ain't going to go in the Hall of Fame. Shohei Ohtani, he ain't going into the Hall of Fame someday. I mean, this is so bad, so awful, it's hard to put into words. I can't believe that I'm sitting up here having this discussion. I'm going to transition to some NBA stuff in just a second because I got my man Shams Charania, the ultimate NBA insider, coming on the show in just a couple of minutes. I got Gary Myers, who has a Hall of Fame vote, longtime outstanding columnist and insider on the National Football League, writing for various publications, including the New York Daily News at the time. He's coming on the show midway through hour number one to talk about this miscarriage of justice against Bill Belichick. There's a lot of stuff to get into, make no mistake about it. But I'm telling you, I had to get this at the start of the show, getting this off my chest. What a crime. And you're the fourth estate. You're any member of the media. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be embarrassed. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. Transitioning to the NBA. Got some breaking news, and it's broken by the guy that breaks everything when it comes to the NBA because he's the best in the business. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He might be moved before the trading deadline. If not, definitely by this summer, because he is absolutely, positively open to it. Not really desiring to stay in Milwaukee any longer. How do we know this? Because my next guest broke the story this morning. That's why. The one and only Shams Charania right here with yours truly. Shams, good to see you, my brother. Talk to me about Giannis. Did he inform the Milwaukee Bucks? Did the Milwaukee Bucks take this position? What is the situation that currently exists with Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks that could potentially lead to him wearing another uniform by the time the NBA's trading deadline expires February 5th?
Stephen A., this is a culmination of 9 months, right? From May, when Giannis Antetokounmpo was able to talk to the Milwaukee Bucks, tell him how he's feeling. It's been a nine-month culmination of this. And so, especially with the way the season in Milwaukee is going, he's had very open and honest conversations with the Bucks on what he feels, what he wants. He wants to compete for a second championship. The Bucks had sold him on a title-contending team this year. John Horst, Doc Rivers, team ownership there, they knew in the offseason that he wanted to see, are there better fits for him? Are there better pathways for him and the organization? They decided, we want to keep you, Giannis. We are still all in. We do not want to trade you. They end up waiving and stretching Dame Lillard. They go and sign Miles Turner. But even still, even after that, Giannis Antetokounmpo showed an openness in a meeting with John Horst face-to-face in late July to have these conversations about exploring outside fits. That's where the Knicks got a multi-week exclusive negotiating window, as it was pushed to me, to discuss a Giannis deal with Milwaukee. No deal was done. So Giannis recommits to the team, comes back to this group. He wants to exhaust all options in Milwaukee. But we've seen how this year has played out. They're 18-27 here on Wednesday, January 28th. They are in the 12th seed in the Eastern Conference behind Charlotte, which just surpassed them for 11th. They're not even a play-in team. And the second half of the season won't be judged by whether Giannis is able to come back from his calf strain. It'll be judged by, can the Bucks lose enough games and can they position themselves in the best way possible to get a high draft lottery pick? That is not what Giannis has signed up for in Milwaukee. They know that. And he obviously has made them aware of that. And so my understanding is Giannis Antetokounmpo has communicated to them, has informed them that he believes that the time has come for both sides to part ways. He is open. He is ready. He's prepared to be moved either at the deadline or in the offseason. And the Bucks have also dealt with this for 9 months. And so they're at the point where they're getting a ton of aggressive offers and they themselves are listening to offers. That is the one interesting wrinkle here that I can report is they are listening to offers. They're talking and engaged with teams. Obviously, you're going to get offers of all-star players, a bunch of draft picks, but can they get everything that they want? That's the big question now between the next 8 days.
You've educated my listeners here, Shyam Charania, on how there was a two-week exclusive negotiating window that the Knicks had at their disposal this summer in order to get Giannis. One would believe that that happened because that's the one place Giannis wanted to go. They weren't able to get a deal done. So now that the Milwaukee Bucks is listening, does that mean that Giannis has left it wide open to going pretty much anywhere to just a few teams? Or is it really the Knicks that's in the leadership position if they could somehow, some way get other teams involved and manufacture a deal that the Milwaukee Bucks can stomach? What's the status in all of that, yours, from what you know?
So there's two sides of this, Stephen A. The one side of it is the Knicks will definitely be among the interested teams here, Stephen A. So that should make your heart happy. But the other thing that I have for you that won't make your heart happy is if a trade were to happen, he has a level of control over this, right? Because next season is essentially an expiring year on his contract. He's going to be extension eligible. No team is giving up in a trade the types of players and assets that it'll take for a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo without knowing if this guy wants to be with you long-term or where he stands on you long-term. And so that's where, in the offseason, it was so beneficial to the Knicks. They knew he wanted to be there. It was made abundantly clear to every party involved. But now he has this level of control, and the list of teams, if the Bucks were to try to move him or get seriously engaged with the team, that list goes well beyond the Knicks. His preferred destinations list is you know, whether you want to say, you know, it could be three, it could be five, but it's more than one and it's well beyond the Knicks. And so that is something that is different than the offseason, that is different than what the Milwaukee Bucks are having now. So if you're the Bucks right now, you have a player in Giannis who might have a preferred destinations list of could be two teams, three teams, yep, four teams, five teams. In the offseason, how does it get when he's essentially an expiring contract?
Could you educate us about the top two or three teams that have the kind of assets Milwaukee would be interested in order to acquire Giannis?
So the Bucks have made it 100% clear, to my knowledge, to the interested teams. They want either a blue chip young talent or a surplus of draft picks. So if they can go get a player that has the youth, and then a bunch of draft picks, I think that would be something that would be appealing to them. So when you look around the league, Miami, New York are certainly going to be among the teams with a level of interest here. Golden State, you have to put them in the mix. They've got all their draft picks. They've got four first-round picks and a pick swap to trade. Do they put that in the mix? You know, if you're Minnesota, Giannis Antetokounmpo, that one of his favorite players, he's been open and honest about it, is Anthony Edwards. He said it publicly. So if you're Minnesota, how do you take today's news? Do you get in the running? that you have a player like a Jaden McDaniels who's well-liked, well-loved by a bunch of teams around the league. Teams would give up multiple draft assets to go get a guy like Jaden McDaniels who can play both sides of the basketball. So those are the types of, I think, teams. If you're Milwaukee, you're looking at, you know, the Knicks are in an interesting position. They have a veteran-laden team, Mikal Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns, OG Anunoby. Like, do any of those pieces, are they fulfilling for Milwaukee? Is there a third team construct that's fulfilling? These are all the situations that Milwaukee is discussing in their boardroom today.
What about Miami?
Well, Miami's got Tyler Hero. They've got Khalil Ware. They've got a few young players like Jaime Jaquez, Nikola Jovic, and they've got two first-round picks, multiple pick swaps, multiple second-round picks. So does something around those players make sense for Milwaukee?
Why don't we hear anything about OKC? I know they're the reigning defending NBA champions, but my God, the assets that they have available to them, whether it's the Russell Westbrook trade, whether it's the Paul George trade, whatever. I mean, they've accumulated picks. Sam Presti, the only thing that was missing from his stellar resume was a championship, and I got on him about that. I'm like, you got to close the deal. You get all these great players, you got to close. And sure enough, last year, he closed, so his record is flawless now. But you got an abundance of assets. How can we never hear about OKC making a move like this, considering the assets that they have? What are they going to do, take it to the grave with them?
I mean, listen, eventually they're going to have to use them, right? And maybe that comes over the next couple of years when they have players and their salary cap continues to boom. But it is interesting. Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and even Houston. My understanding is those three teams are not in the mix here on Giannis. They don't expect either of those three teams to be calling the Bucks on Giannis. And so, you know, Houston has got a plethora of young players. Amen Thompson, Alperen Sengun, Jabari Smith, Tari Eason. They value highly. San Antonio, they're in a similar position to Oklahoma City from last year and the year before, where this is a group that hasn't even been in the playoffs yet. So they not necessarily know what they have. Does this group by itself have enough to get to the second round of the conference finals? They don't know yet. And until they give this group a runway to go see what they have, like Oklahoma City has done the last few years, they don't want to shuffle that deck. And Oklahoma City, like you said, Stephen, they're the reigning champs. They're looking at it like, we believe we have the team already here. But again, that's why these moves, if Giannis Antetokounmpo ends up in one of those Western Conference powerhouses, how does that change the balance of power? If he goes out east, that'll clearly change the balance of power. Yeah. Wherever he ends up has a massive domino effect on the entire NBA.
Last question here. Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, came on First Take yesterday, and he talked about Sengun being gone from Houston. You package him with somebody else. My attitude is this. You, Giannis with KD would be spectacular, but you keep Amen Thompson. You don't lose that young man. That's my attitude. You got those three on your crew. You're good to go. Can you tell us anything about Houston and what they would be willing to surrender in order to get a Giannis Antetokounmpo, if anything at all?
I don't see them as of right now as one of the teams that I think is going to call on this situation. I think maybe this was something in the summer before they made the deal for Kevin Durant. When they had Jalen Green on their roster and Dylan Brooks, maybe if they didn't have Kevin Durant, maybe you're more apt to try to do something. But they feel really strongly about Alperen Sengun, about Amen Thompson. These guys are still in their 20s. These guys haven't even hit their prime yet. I mean, Amen Thompson's not anywhere close to hitting his peak or his prime. I mean,
that's right.
We're seeing Alperen Sengun start to blossom in that way. But as of right now, them, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City are not expected to be significant players here.
Shyam Charania, NBA Insider Extraordinaire for ESPN. Always appreciate your brilliance, my brother. Thank you so much, man. Keep doing your thing. I'll see you soon.
Stephen A., thank you. Appreciate you.
One and only Shyam Charania right here with Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. That's 888-623-3646. One of the blessings I have in my career. I mean, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski was the best in the business. And obviously he retires and his main competition's with Shyam Charania. And now he's here at ESPN just doing his thing. We don't miss much on the NBA for years when Woj was one and then Shams is here now. Ain't miss a damn thing. They are all over it. So when that man talks and he reports on something, you make sure you understand it's usually money in the bank. That's how it is. That's just how it is. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Long time Hall of Fame voter in the National Football League. The one and only Gary Myers, a best-selling author, former columnist extraordinaire on the National Football League. Obviously, he's also going to be my next guest because he's going to be here in just a few minutes to talk about this travesty of justice that has been exercised against the one and only Bill Belichick. Gary Myers here next, right here with Stephen A., SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.